Welcome to PGAFC Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the word to transform lives.
Subabi Hani, that means good morning in Nepalese, I was told. We remember our Nepal mission team right now. And I want to say a warm welcome to all of us who meet here every week. I was so encouraged to hear from a young person earlier on who said, you know what, if you, by his own strength, the week has just been so tough, so challenging. And yet he still makes an effort to be here, you know, to commune with the Lord and to be encouraged by the brethren. So let us not give up this habit of meeting together. And to those of us joining us online, we warmly welcome your online presence, and at the right time, do come and also join God's Church, PJEFC. Let's pray, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I can have my slides up, please. Thank you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that throughout the week, many people have been praying for today. Not just for the sermon, but Lord, I know of groups, small groups who faithfully come together to pray for every aspect of the service. Faithful groups who meet, irrespective of the size, who pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to reign throughout your church, PJ Evangelical Free Church, which is more than just this building. PJEFC is made up of hearts that have been touched by you and lives which will continue to be transformed by you as we open you and allow you to be Lord of our lives. So God, this morning I thank you for these faithful people who have prayed and who continue to pray. And Lord, teach us, Lord, to place our burdens. And Lord, to those, Lord, who's been finding it such a tough week, a tough month, even a tough year, God, in this season of Christmas, Lord, may we find the energy, not just the energy, may we find, Lord, space for you in our hearts. And may you, Lord, give us rest. May you restore us. May you renew us, Lord, for you are definitely not finished with us. In your very precious name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. The church leaders assigned this passage in Luke to me a few months back, and it was very painful for me. You know why? Memories came back, and I remember when I was in Form 5, a couple of decades ago, I actually took religious knowledge. And of all things, my late auntie, Auntie Lai Koon, made special connections to pair me up with this very, very famous teacher. I think some of you might know her, right? She is still alive. Miss Yeo Kim Eng, I was told, is 97 years of age. She stays quite near to our church. She is a BGS girl turned student, turned teacher, turned religious knowledge par excellence teacher. I was the outlier in her group, okay? But if any of you know Miss Yeo Kim Eng, please do tell her this particular student is still faithful in the Lord. He didn't get his A's then, but you know, we all have our challenges. But I'm also very pleased to know some of you who are students of hers did get the A's. And I pray that you continue to live your life to get that almighty A from the Lord. I also want to thank many people, especially to the wise pastor who has been nudging me on today's topic, nudging me a few times. And of course, when you give commendation, you must not miss the wife. So thank you, DL, for constantly reminding me not to do things last minute. Yeah. So the topic is on our Lord Jesus' mighty acts. If we were to read it word for word, right, in John 21, verse 25, it records for us every one of his acts written down. The whole world will not have room for the books that were written. Far too many things. So in the church leadership wisdom, they've assigned to us two passages. Yeah, two passages. And I would like to invite Karen to come up stage to read the assigned two passages. And in this morning's sermon overview, I aim to share from God's word and to cover these five important points. Yeah.
scripture reading is taken from Psalm 71, verse 19. Your righteousness, God, reaches to the heavens. You who have done great things, who is like you, God? The second scripture reading is taken from Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Mary's song. And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him, from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. May God bless the reading of his word.
Thank you. Wasn't easy to get the wife to read. In fact, she said, you should get a Mary to read this. But I said, I better get my wife first, then next time I get people's wife to help out. The passage being assigned actually stopped at a little part, and in reviewing today's part, it will be incomplete. So thanks to you, Barry, wherever you are, for telling me that this is known as the famous Magnificat. Being a believer in the Lord, I didn't even know that this thing called Magnificat until today. So this is the whole part about Mary's verse, and we will be reflecting on her prayer unto the Lord. Magnificat in Latin means my soul magnifies the Lord. So imagine this. Was it really so Magnificat when Mary found out she would be having a baby? So today, church, we look at one of the most powerful moments in Scripture, the announcement of salvation to the world, the announcement to Mary, and recognize why this is a mighty act, the most mightiest act that can only come from God. We'll walk through Luke chapter 1 together, right? Because in preparing for this, again, Barry, thank you for encouragement to always look at the context in hand. And Luke, or Dr. Luke, writes to Theophilus, and he starts off attentioning to him, and we know that Theophilus was most likely a high-ranking or influential Gentile for whom Dr. Luke wanted to provide a detailed historical account of Christ and the spread of the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. In reading Luke, you will find for yourselves the intent is to let all of us as the readers today to learn that God's love reaches out to and fold people from all nations. God's love is to the Jews and Gentiles all alike. And Dr. Luke, being the smart guy he is, he starts off providing assurance on these faith teachings. It is recorded for us. He tells us he himself investigated the facts of the case from the beginning and thus decided to write an orderly account. And it's quite easy to follow, actually, when you look back at the structure. And again, it's in your Bible. You look at the subtitles, it starts off by the birth of John the Baptist foretold, then the birth of our Lord Jesus foretold. Mary then visits Elizabeth, and then Mary's song, the Magnificat, the 10 verses recorded for us, right? Birth of John the Baptist, and ultimately Zechariah's song. So Luke, Dr. Luke, emphasizes God's masterful plan of salvation taking place in the arena of world history. This plan actually began with Adam and will end with the return of our Lord Jesus at the end of age. Our Lord Jesus sums up Luke's message very well when he says, "The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. There starts for you the mighty act where Scripture records for us the foretelling of our Lord Jesus. Search Scriptures for yourselves, online communities. Search it for yourself and you will see dozens, hundreds of messianic prophecies relating to our Lord Jesus' birth. There was nothing accidental about it. It foretells his birth, it foretells his life, his death. This is just one example. Oh, you will see in a little on many examples that's going to come, right? The prophecies recorded for us, example, in Isaiah 7, verse 14, 700 years before his birth, when it records that the Lord himself will give you a sign, the virgin will conceive, and give birth to a son, and call him Emmanuel, God with us. So how does Mary's song start off, right? It is a biblical hymn of praise spoken by Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus, and it's found only in the Gospel of Luke. The Magnificat is only found there. It is one of Christianity's most ancient and popular hymns, used in liturgies of various Christian denominations, including Catholic, Orthodox, Anglican, and Lutheran churches, and is often sung at evening prayers at such churches. Mary is blessed, but is not to be worshipped. Nor is there any need for us to rely on her for prayers to be interceded. She is human, but her obedience, her humble stature, is an example to all of us. In this canticle, Mary speaks about how her soul magnifies the Lord and how God regarded the humble state of his servant Mary. It records for us in verse 48 of Luke chapter 1, he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. The Lord knows our heart. The Lord sees through our facade. The Lord knows us through in and through out. When Mary also, in verse 48, the later part says that all generations will call me blessed, there is nothing egoistic about it. You know, like, and from now on, everyone will call me blessed. But it's a recognition that she knows that through her, the Savior of the world will come. So that is the position she's coming from. Now, this announcement was nothing short of majestic. If you really reflect on this passage, brothers and sisters, to add on to the passage that Karen just read, verse 26 in chapter 1 speaks about the birth of our Lord Jesus being foretold. This important task was assigned by God to the archangel Gabriel. And Gabriel, right, he's not just any angel. In the Bible, he seems to be appearing to three main figures. The prophet Daniel, when he had to explain the visions, Zechariah the priest, to announce John the Baptist's birth, and Mary, to reveal she would conceive Lord Jesus, making Archangel Gabriel a key messenger, right? God doesn't just send anyone, right? A very special messenger for a special message for his special son. So he was sent to reveal God's divine plans in both the Old and New Testaments. So I imagine Gabriel must have been very, very, he must be towering, because it records in verse 13, first thing when he comes, what does he say? Not high. Always is, do not be afraid, right? In verse 13, Zechariah, an old priest who's been spending time with God for so much, right? First thing that was recorded in verse 13 is, do not be afraid, because he was startled and gripped with fear. Not quite met an angel before, but I think they must be so towering, right? A reflection of who God really is. And in verse 28, Gabriel tries a different approach. When he unraveled the greetings to Mary, he begins by saying that, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And he records for us in verse 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Doesn't talk about being fearful, but later on, I think, as the words sank down, he had to provide comfort in verse 30 when the angel said, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. In looking at this, do some of you think that how come so unfair for Zechariah? Remember, because of this doubt, he was made mute. For Mary, well, God gave chance. Is God impartial? Does God give a little extra bounty points to a lady? Definitely not. Okay, this is just an illustration. There were no cameras invented then, by the way. Right? But you can imagine this artist's beautiful rendition of Zechariah, an old priest, right, who's been praying constantly with his dear wife for a baby, compared to Mary, a young teenager who was engaged, who never in a million years can imagine she being conceived, right? So recognize this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. When the Lord speaks, He caters and personalizes His response to each of us. So Zechariah being made mute was an example of how he just had this doubt after doubt on top of his prayer, despite Gabriel announcing this to him. Whereas for Mary, it is so true. It was something so miraculous, something cannot be fathomed. And you have to commend her for her humble stature, for the way she received, even though she don't understand, but she received this in faith. I think sometimes when we talk about like Zechariah, you know, when he talks about how can I know, how can I have an additional sign, I think signs are okay, but beware, you know, when we keep on asking for signs when we pass the road signs. I do have a very few close friends who at times will say that, you know what, if only God would do this, or if only I can see God now, if only, you know, they have the if and only. And then as you listen to their life story, actually, in this particular instance, didn't you see God working in this particular part? So I guess in this part, I just want to allude to the point, we be careful about the signs that we're looking at. Look to the provider of the sign. Do not wait just for the sign to move on with God. The verses here record, yeah, the different way, yeah, that Gabriel responded to Zechariah at the first part and the lower part, which is to Mary. And to Mary, I just want to read word for word from the Lord. When Gabriel went to her, she said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." And despite being so greatly troubled, right, the angel then said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." The very famous words recorded for us in Scripture was with Mary not being able to understand fully what God is about to reveal. She doesn't ask for extra signs. "Lord, if you give me a bit more, then I walk in further." She just says, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." And the angel left her. In times of crisis, in times of your great, great, great family emergency, as you submit to the Lord, as you pray, as you read His word, I am sure He will give you confirmation on that important major part as you seek Him. Because read for ourselves what kind of comfort that the Lord gives. God's not done with just Gabriel's announcement. What followed is Gabriel also said, "You will know when you go and visit your Elizabeth, right? She was so old, is now expecting a baby, right? And when she traveled and met Elizabeth, that was a confirmation that all this is being aligned." So that is so much of a preamble to the passages in chapter 1. And for today's sermon, we will dig into the Magnificat, Mary's song from verses 46 to 56. Read it a few times, let it sink in, and you will see this is a very balanced prayer. It's not just about being humble. There's not just a nice thing to it. There's also a warning. Yes, a warning to any of us who choose to remain proud. There are a number of reasons why Mary rejoices. And you read from the first part, right? God is mindful. God is mighty. In verse 48, I told you earlier on, right? Mary is not being egoistic at all when she talks about all people will call her blessed. She is mindful of her low state. She is mindful, and yet God chooses to bring this plan of redemption through her. Yeah. She is mindful knowing that this is God's plan in redeeming mankind back to God. God sees the humble in our midst. God sees your heart, my heart. And He chooses ordinary people for extraordinary purposes. How fantastic is that? You don't need to get, I mean, it helps if you get A's in your religious Bible knowledge. It helps if you have a few other, you know, degrees. But the Lord uses us at whatever point that we are. And when Mary sang prophetically, she had a glimpse of how the kingdom of God would be like established here on earth. This was Mary speaking under the power of the Holy Spirit. She gave voice to the longings of the oppressed. She gave hope to Israel. Look at the word mercy, brothers and sisters. If not for the mercy shown by God, all of us will be damned eternally. Condemned. Because no matter how good that we try, no matter how good, how angel that person, angelic that person may be, there will always be a chasm between a fallen creation and a perfect God. Those of us as believers know, right? The way, the only way, is when our Lord Jesus had to die on the cross so that He can appease the wrath of God due to us, each one of us, myself included. In Mary's song, she talks about herself. That feeling of gratitude comes out. And in verse 50 onwards, you can see that it transitions from a me prayer to others. She clearly says, God's mercy is not just for her, but for those who fear Him. Do we fear God? I know we all love God, but do we fear God? Do we have a healthy level of fear for Him, knowing that He watches over everything that we do? He knows everything in our heart, things that even our spouse may not know at times. God has done things for the world only with His power, if you read from verse 51 to 53. Part of the mighty act is also in verse 52, right? God bringing down rulers from their thrones. And read the Bible for yourself. Have we not heard of the mighty King Nebuchadnezzar, who was, the Koreans say Chagoya, right? The hero of the hero. I mean, he was a world authority, and yet, at God's command, did he not behave like an animal towards the end part? So watch out for pride, brothers and sisters. God uses the foolish things in the world, and He will raise up the humble. Without God's mercy, humanity is eternally lost. Without you and I being reminded that we need the Lord, we need Him for sustenance, life will be hopeless. Recognize that He will always raise the humble. My encouragement and reminder to all of us is the Lord Jesus must be our one and only Savior, and He needs to be the Lord over all areas of our lives. If not, He's not our Lord at all. In today's digital world, may I also suggest the Lord Jesus must be the Lord of my mobile, must be the Lord over my social media, must be the Lord over the private conversations that take place behind closed doors. He must be Lord of all. If not, he is not Lord at all. When we have this healthy fear of the Lord, we can't help but be thankful. We can't help but to also walk our lives in such a way that we look out for the warnings that come. I mentioned before, this is a very balanced prayer. Look again at what the Lord will do besides bring down rulers from their thrones, right? He will scatter those who are proud. And when we say proud, I think all of us are adults. I know there are some children here, you know, when you say proud in school, sometimes you say your action, not that kind of proud, right? This kind of pride actually is very insidious, which is why there are clear warnings for us, you know, don't be proud, don't let it envelop our hearts. It engulfs the heart. Because anytime you and I think, I can do better, or when, you know, someone does something and say, And the worst one is when we don't articulate out, when we ruminate in our minds and we speak in our hearts, what does that person know? What, you know? Or we go through life circumstances and think, God, you know, it's okay. You know, this one is not a level one emergency. When I really, really run out of ideas and I really, really am brought to my knees, maybe, Lord, I better bring you in. Maybe by then I better change my lifestyle. But for level one, level two type of emergency, it's okay. I think I've got some friends who can help me out. Beware of that kind of a thought, ladies and gentlemen. Because God's mighty act is for the humble, through the humble, and for those who are hungry and not proud. We are reminded, right? Scripture reminds us that there is a clear warning for this. And in James 4, verse 6, God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. It's a very familiar verse, but oftentimes it's so easy to let it glaze by. It's so easy for us to pick the nice verses, you know, like, I mean, Psalm 23, very lovely part. But last I checked, our life must be balanced because our God is balanced. He will love, but there also must be that healthy fear for him. So do not ever allow our heart to say that I don't really need you, God. To those of us who might be thinking, I've heard about Jesus being the one and only way. Is he really the only way? Never mind, that's tomorrow. You know, or yeah, this faith is for the weak ones. My encouragement to you, brother, sister, is to just open up your heart. Because we never know what happens for tomorrow. And you and I need to make that decision to recognize that he is the one and only way to the Father and to heaven. So we talked just now about spiritual hunger. We talked about spiritual pride. The spiritual hunger here recognizes those, and there are many of those here within our midst, right, who recognize our deep spiritual need and recognize that we need to be dependent on God. These are the true people who are humble, the poor in spirit, those who crave righteousness, those who forgive, those who receive forgiveness, those who have an active relationship with the Lord. God promises to satisfy this desire with good things, including peace, hope, and the blessings of his kingdom. God never promised that he'll remove problems, but he promises he will never leave nor forsake us. So what happens with spiritual pride? Yeah, these are a checklist for all of us as we listen to today's word from the Lord. Well, if ever we feel we are self-satisfied, or we have reached a level, we don't really need God now, or we are quite self-sufficient. We have got our lovely stories with the Lord decades ago. We don't need now a recent encounter. He's done his thing previously. Watch out, ladies and gentlemen, because our relationship with the Lord is supposed to be fresh. It's supposed, yes, there's going to be up and down, right? Our relationship can't be like that. But there needs to be that yearning. As you and I spend time with the Lord for months, for years, for decades, it should create an inclination to know him more, to live for him more. May you and I never be so dead to our sins that we say, never mind, this sin, level one, you know, can handle one. Or anything happen, before we die, we think, Jesus, I love you, and then just like that. I think we miss a lot if we just live our Christian life just like this. So spiritual pride, I just want to re-emphasize, is in knowing that we don't need the Lord, we don't involve Him, and that in the end becomes a barrier to receiving God's grace. Yeah. So we do not want to be sent empty just because our hands and hearts are already full of our own perceived security and importance, leaving no room for God's gifts. God's kingdom reverses worldly values. There is favor for those who are humble, who declare their reliance on Him. But there's also judgment for the proud. In speaking about our Lord Jesus' mighty acts, how not to cover the almighty, mighty act when our Lord Jesus humbled Himself to exalt us, as stated in Philippians 2. This is not just, I'm humble, right? He came, right? Inconvenience isn't even the right word to be used. But He came to live as us. He came to suffer. He came to die for you and I and the whole of mankind. That was the only way for you and I to receive hope. And that continues to be the way you and I need to be reminded that, hey, I need you, God. Hey, I need more of you, Lord. Hey, God, may I never be so proud to know that I've reached. I like it so much with Edwin, you know, who I also got his views in discussing for today's sermon. He said, think about it this way, that glim. Jesus entered a sinful world, right, through a single cell. Oh, this is Edwin, he's a wordsmith. He said, yet through Him, the entire cosmos is redeemed. I don't use the word cosmos very often. So if I do this without referring to you, Edwin, I do you a great disjustice. But you see, he again says that He willingly bound Himself to physical limits so we could be spiritual free. Oh, nice twang, huh? Confirm can get A1 with Miss Yeo. Okay, verse 54 to 55. The mighty acts remind us about God's covenant for His people. So wonderful, right? To know that our God never forgets. The covenant that He made to Abraham still is there. The covenant preserves, the covenant protects, and the covenant is ultimately fulfilled. So, in knowing the Lord, brothers and sisters, we will experience mercy, we will experience grace as we yield unto Him. He is not a heavenly Father waiting to just lash at us. Yeah. But He's also not just a fuddy-duddy like Santa Claus, right? Just waiting at a couch. He wants to be involved in our life. As great as the heavenly Father is, right? One thing that you and I and the whole world have is the will. You and I can choose to not allow Him into being the Lord of our lives. You and I can choose to allow certain parts of our life not to be seen. But it's so clear. He must be Lord over all areas. The physical, the mental, the spiritual, all areas. I've been reading Luke chapter 1 so many times. At times I ask the Lord, Lord, I keep having these flashbacks, you know, of the Bible knowledge days. It's like, And I like it when it was just summarized so nicely when Mary encourages us. Ultimately, aren't we all the Lord's servant? And whenever challenges come our way, whenever warnings come our way, that we can truly say this, may your word to me be fulfilled. I almost forgot to talk about the mighty act, right? Through Abraham's seed, right? Abraham's seed in Genesis 12, Genesis 15. The seed is ultimately our Lord Jesus. Yeah, so it comes back as a good clean loop when Mary, the obedient servant, is now going to fulfill by bringing up the Son of God. Nothing an accident when it comes to our Lord. I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled. So may this be the stance for each of us as faithful believers. And to those who have still at the fringe yet to know our Lord God as your personal Lord and Savior, may I tell you, it's not going to be all smooth sailing. Your financial, health, mental woes won't just go away just like butter on a hot cake. But you will find hope. Ask the many people in this midst. Reflect back at our lives. During life's tough challenge, did God just make that problem disappear? We go through life's challenges, we involve the Lord, we end up being richer, being more reliant on Him. So may this be our stance when, not even, when tough things come our way, brothers and sisters. Not just amen and hallelujah at lush big windfalls. Of course we do that. But with the reminder, our God is the God of the mountaintop as much as He's the God when we go through life's valley. So to those who are struggling, I may not know exactly how you're feeling, right? Because this is your life. Yeah? And there are times that we can't even see through each other's initial part, even though we see each other so often. But if you're struggling in your spirit, you're struggling in health, you're struggling in your finance, you're even struggling mentally or physically, search the scriptures. Pray about your situation. Seek prayers from a trusted believer. Don't struggle by yourself. Receive that spiritual nourishment. It won't go away overnight, but when you sincerely and humbly, like Mary, allow the Lord into all areas of your life, you will experience this peace that the world doesn't understand. I want to invite my CG member and sister in Christ, Kun Prem Vadi Piankit. She goes by the name of Prem. Yeah, she's coming up, and I didn't have to cajole her. I just said once, Prem, any testimony to share from your life about God? You know, sometimes we have to ask, please, pretty please. It within a short instance, okay. Yeah. That means you start coming up, please. Okay. Yeah. And this is just one of many stories of how we've experienced the Lord's love in our life. And I hope this morning, as you reflect back on your life, this message will cause some discontent. If you feel that you've known it all, you've experienced all with the Lord. But as, at the same token, if you are a person who is so clear about God punishing you, God being vindictive, hey, may they be that balance to know that the Lord awaits to extend His love and grace to you. Prem is one of the wonderful people in our church, often serving behind the background. Yeah, and yes, we just want to pray for her as she shares her life of testimony. Right at the end, Pastor James, you would come up here to conclude today's sermon. Let's just pray for Prem as she comes up. Yeah. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for Prem, Lord, and for many others, because, Lord, our life story is not finished with you. I thank you, Lord, that as she also takes this humble posture and shares from her life a glimpse to us as brothers and sisters, we will be reminded how important it is to remain grounded in your word, to walk with a fellow believer, and to receive from you. As we read your word, as we pray, oh God, may we not just spend a few minutes with you daily. May you give us this joy in wanting to know more about you, to search the scriptures, to respond. And Lord, may we also be open to correction, to warnings, because, Lord, behind all of all this is the heart of love. So be with Prem. May you help her to speak in love, in boldness, and we continue to bless her as she serves you. And we love you. In your mighty name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Yeah.
Thank you, Tek Lim. Okay. Thank you, everyone. Good morning to all. Some of you may know me, some of you may not know me. I've been in this church for, I think, since day one I accept Christ. I found a Christ by my neighbor. Okay, the day that I lost everything, foreigners in a foreign land, no family members, nowhere to go, everything was dark for me. For you, for all of you, your life maybe start at after you graduate, after you have your own family, have a children. But for me, my life just started at the age of 50. By the way, I'm Thai. I've been living here for 40 years, 40, all right? So bear with me if my English not that perfect, or my spelling, my talking, my accent is something like still as a local Thai lah, okay? Bear with me. I'm trying my best to correct my words. My lifestyle, the past is a past, but as the Bible said, don't worry about tomorrow. Because today, tomorrow they have their own worry itself. We just worry about today, that we complete our day, follow the what is of God that provide for us. The day I'm start that I'm lost everything, I'm attempted suicide because I have no house, no roof to cover my head, and no food. I don't have anything. Everybody was turned away from me, even the friends that I'm taught that we can be together, we can rely on together. But once everything you deep down to the ground, it's not only the ground, you know, it's a dig to the root. And then the earth to cover you, that you know that yes, you are nowhere. You are nowhere to go. I have 10 minutes to share, all right? So then I found a person that I do not know. I do not know who is she. She also do not know who am I. But suddenly she came. She came without knowing me personally. Together with me, to be with me, leave everything behind, even though her own children, her own family, just to be with me, to save me. She brought me to this church. And the church, the pastor on duty, is a person to hold me for one whole day. After finish from the pastor, I have to cut the story short, yeah? Actually, I got so many things to tell. It's something is very wonderful, you know. Actually, I also do not know that by accept Christ, the Lord Jesus can have the things that impossible, as really impossible, be possible. I start with, I'm accept Christ with zero, or I can say that it's minus zero. No money, no job, no husband, no family, no mother. My father passed away 40 years ago. I only left my mother and my brother. And my own mother disowned me. You don't call me as a mother. I'm not your mother anymore. All right? With the certain issue, with certain reason lah. All right? So then I have, like in the ocean, you know, you do not know where to go. Who else to go? Just only the road in front that is the dark road in front. It's the Jalan Mati lah. All right? So on that day, suddenly, the person came in, rescued me, brought me to the CG. My ex-CG is, that time is a Tengu and Sweat. All right? Then I found them. Why do all people so happy? For my thinking itself on that day, I thought Christian people is very happy people, huh? They don't have the problem. Seems like there's no problem, no issue at all. Why they are so smiling? Everything is happy. Everything for you is life go on, very easy, easy going. Then I joined an Alpha course, the first Alpha in PJAFC, I think, right? I just have two times only. Suddenly when on that day itself, in the CG house itself, she brought me to her kitchen. And then she said, Prem, that time she called me Mrs. Yap, because therefore my name is very difficult to pronounce, right? So they said, in the Bible, I think you remember it's a Matthew. Look at the lily in the field. Look at the bird in the sky. They never store up everything for themselves. But they still find the food to have for them. When I touch that word, because I'm a Buddhism, the Buddhism, the thinking that everything is you have to do for yourself so the thing will come, right? But the Lord, that word, is touched my heart. Then he said, how come? Yeah, true. The bird, they never store up the food. They just go out in the morning, and then they can find the worm, they can find the food for themselves. They never store up, right? And then the lily, they flow, go over to the wind, and then they just drop in the ground, and then they grow again the new life, which is the life after I accept Christ. It's very wonderful. God provide me. They are not provide me for more. They have provide me for a day itself. I do not know what the food will have the next meal, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. But suddenly, when the time comes, the angel, the God will send one angel, Prem, are you, where are you? I have the food for you. Every meal is that. Such a wonderful. I don't have the roof to cover my head because I owe the landlord about 1 or 2 years rental, you know. But they still allow me to stay because they want their money. Then, I owe a lot of people money. Even though I'm blacklist to the bank, I can't even open any bank. Blacklist, okay? So the life is go on, routine, job, part-time job, odd job for one to another. Then I have a permanent job. The first permanent job is a nutrimatic center, right? Then after that, the life go on, go on, go on. Seems very smooth, but the Lord is had provided. Lord really provided what the thing that I need. I know that I need a permanent job to protect myself. He gave me a permanent job. But in the meantime, I thank you him every day. When I wake up, thank you, Lord, for yesterday that you provided me. You give me health, food, and happiness. By the way, I live by myself. I'm alone in the house, but I never feel lonely because he is with me all the time. I'm talking to him all the time. That the thing is happening, thank you, Lord. The food today, thank you, Lord. Then the thing happened again. I work in the company without pay for 1.5 years, you know, without pay. And I need to support my mother, right? My mother fell sick in the hospital. I have to fly back every time. But then, just a wonderful. After my mother passed away, settled everything, so I came back here. I said, Lord, I cannot carry on like this. You open the door for me or you close the door for me. That's it. Then the Lord was slowly, have to be patient, slowly have faith and trust in him. I only have faith in him that I will never leave you or forsake you. That is the word that he promised us. Faith in him. Then the door was opened. He put me in PJFC with the big family. Everybody welcomed me. And my life is settled in PJFC. Such a wonderful what the Lord that part the way, just only a faith. I have faith, very strong faith. Whatever circumstances come into me, the thing that will happen, the reason will be there. You have to be strong in Him, believe in Him, trust in Him, and faithful to Him. He will answer you everything, and He will provide you what you need. Not extra, not less or more, just what you need. You have to be as satisfied, we'll be happy, we'll be blessed, and appreciate what He did. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org. Love God, love people, make disciples.